The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring. You're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
contenders. How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 279 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Didi Jonet. Okay, friend, what's up? We're a week into the, you know, coronavirus apocalypse.
You know, I already aired my grievances off air, but just suffice it to say, I'm not down with the whole everybody get to telework but me and like five other people. Not a fan. But you know what I am a fan of? Hand sanitizer. Yes.
Surgical gloves.
I'm not really into masks. I think that's team too much. But everything else, big fan of. And Adam Page. Yeah, big fan of him. Mm-hmm. It's like he got even more gingery. Mm-hmm. Once he switched to whiskey. See how that works?
If you don't know what Ms. Didi Jonet is referring to, Adam Page put out a press release that he can no longer accept beers from the fans due to the outbreak of the coronavirus. He said during this time he will be switching his drink of choice from beer to whiskey in hopes that the increased alcohol content will help kill germs and keep him safe.
It feels like a logical conclusion to me.
A man straight after Didi Jonet's heart.
Like it felt correct when he said it. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, every week he does a little. I told you he's doing a little bit more every week.
I'm a big fan of it.
Yes, he's about to lap the field when it comes to your faves. This is the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. You can find us on the CSPN. We're brought to you by the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the WrestleCast-CSPN through any podcast app, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, all that good stuff. So, Ms. Didi Jonet, we got some news. Vince McMahon said, fuck the coronavirus. Everything else in the world is canceled and postponed and until further notice, but not WrestleMania. And because I can't present 7 hours of product with no fans and an empty performance center, it's going to be a 2-day event now, hosted by Rob Gronkowski.
Sounds awful. How do you feel about it?
As long as it's 2.5 to 3 hours each day, it could be okay. But
I can hear the confidence in your voice.
Yeah, I wasn't really thrilled about it going into it with, you know, 70,000 people at the football stadium. So I'm really not too jazzed up about it being in front of nobody.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They need to make like AEW and get the rest of the wrestlers out there to be like, boo.
Yeah, MJF was really good on AEW this week. Him and Shawn Spears had that big ass bottle of wine, those big glasses out there. Drinking and betting on matches.
Sounds like fun to me.
So, yeah, Miss Didi Jonet, your thoughts on it? Performance Center Mania.
Realistically, I guess you can't do nothing. I don't know that I think a 2-day event is the correct answer to doing. I mean, you can make an empty arena thing a thing. I mean, I haven't seen it for a whole pay-per-view event, but we've seen that work with matches before. So it has a basis in reality, but I don't know who told him instead of 7 hours on a Sunday, you should do 7 hours on 2 different days total. And it's like, no, just give me one good 3-hour product. Half the shit you were going to put on WrestleMania was bullshit anyway. Say no to pre-shows, hash that tag till I die. And just like make everything count, matter, tell the stories, tell them well, or go home and let Triple H do it. That works too. You know, to be like, oh no, I got the Rona, can't come. You know?
Well, Vince definitely needs to be sheltered and quarantined. He's the target age group that gets taken out.
Absolutely in the age group. Oh, no, we were supposed to go to New York, me and my dear old lady gang, but because Broadway shut down, they were like, ooh, no, probably we should stay home. And then they were like, if you're 70 and older, you should probably not. And the birthday girl was turning 70, so she was like, guess I won't be going. And so everybody was like, cool, we'll cancel. We don't gotta go. No worries. We're gonna stay right at home. When I tell you, we didn't even see each other that weekend. It's serious. So I think Vincent Kennedy McMahon should stay wherever he's at, which is hopefully not Florida.
Well, that's our news segment for this week, because everything else in wrestling except for AEW is basically on shutdown. Because you can't gather, at least according to the president, it's not recommended to be gathering with, you know, more than 10 people.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because it's like not more than 10 and preferably 6 feet away. So it's like, good luck with wrestling.
Right. Right. So you have to be a little bit, you know, a lot closer to that to perform the act of the entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Because you got to be like 1 to 2 feet away. Probably more like 7-10 inches away.
Right. And there's a lot of contact and breathing and all that good stuff. But anyway, Miss DiDiGiorné, I'm going to turn it over to you at this time. So you can tell us about this very special edition of SmackDown from the WWE Performance Center.
SmackDown? At the Performance Center? Oh, Bailey. Oh, yeah, they did arrive. Bailey cut a promo stating that they are the faces of SmackDown. They are in the building that they built. And Bailey asked where Paige is. I feel like I missed something because I don't know where their beef came from.
Well, Paige was supposed to be on the show to confront Bailey. Well, they advertised it when the world was still regular.
I think I missed that too, though, which is fine. I drink a lot. So anyway, Cole says she had travel issues and Banks calls her jealous. Bliss and Cross arrive and say that they are here because they called out the Kabuki Warriors but got no answer. They challenge Bailey and Banks to a match. They defeat Bliss and Cross when Bailey fakes an injury as Asuka attacks out of nowhere. And Sasha taps out Nikki with the bank statement. Now, Sasha ain't really get all the torque on that statement like she can.
Just go ahead and say it like you meant to say it, like she need to.
Like I want her to, like I like her to.
There you go. Just go ahead and say it the way you don't put no punches on this show, girl.
She was giving basic bitch moments. Like, I guess she was like, it's the Performance Center. Ain't nobody in here, right? Well, who's looking at this shit? Like, no, but she just did the lean back, but she ain't bridge like she can bridge. She ain't point the toe like she, you know.
Yeah, we know.
She ain't give all that. Not, you know. It was a Performance Center in an empty crowd, so I can't be but so upset with her. But anyway, Roman arrives for an interview with Michael Cole. He talks about how weird it is without a crowd and how tough his year has been, because remember, he had the cancers. He addresses his critics and says he main events all year and he should be able to main event Mania. No one has his commitment and he will take what's his. They talk spear versus spear. Roman runs down Goldberg, says he respects him for what he's done. You know who doesn't respect Goldberg? Bret Hart. And say he doesn't have time for part-timers. Ooh, Brock Lesnar. He's been groomed for this. He's mastered his craft and will whoop Goldberg's ass and set this place right.
So, for the record, Bret Hart doesn't like Hulk Hogan. Well, I know why he doesn't like Hulk Hogan. Because he, you know, politics, and Hulk Hogan ducked him and all this stuff. Wouldn't ever wrestle him or whatever. And I know why he doesn't like Goldberg. Because Goldberg kicked him in the face, in the head, and gave him a concussion, which led to all his health problems.
Yeah, he said, Goldberg is dangerous. Goldberg injures everybody. He's like, I said, we can go out and we can do whatever you want. Just don't injure me. What did he do? Injured me. I love it.
All this time, I never knew Bret Hart had a black wife, but now,
listen,
with these answers and these like little videos he's making, it's like, starting to come out and show. Like,
it's like, of course you're people. Like I see it. I see. I don't know how I missed it, but I see it. It's amazing.
Bret Hart. I mean, Bret Hart and Ally the whole time, huh?
The whole time. And we sitting up here just be like, oh, you a boring Canadian. We missed it. It's our fault. He did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, Cesaro. Ooh, my faves. Cesaro and Sammy arrive with Nakamura. Kayla, little old Kayla, says they have been bumped. So Sammy leaves to celebrate his IC title win. Jeff Hardy arrives and he has more to do in WWE. King Corbin interrupts and is not happy he's back and knows that he runs SmackDown with these lies. I run SmackDown. Anyway, Corbin makes a DUI joke. Ha ha. You know, at least it wasn't a drug joke. And Jeff says they have a match tonight. Elias arrives. He has a song for Corbin, but Corbin leaves because he can't take the talent. That's what it was. Next, Cole and Triple H talk Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak at the Elimination Chamber. Bryan meets with Drew and puts him over, noting that he wants to learn and asks Drew to teach him. Sammy interrupts and mocks him for not joining him, as now he's the IC champion. Sammy mocks Drew as well, and then that sets up Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro. They re-air the Tag Team Elimination Chamber match. First of all, not Otis jumping his big ass off the top of that cage.
Tucker.
Yeah, sure. Listen, you too big for that. I mean, he did great, but like, goddamn. Like, how do you practice that? Do you do that in a ball pit first? And then they're like, yeah, then now do it on mats. Yeah, now do it on people. Like, get away from me.
That's exactly what happens.
They
have crash pads. So they.
Then you gotta like tuck and roll. Yeah. And make sure your head go just so, and then make sure and hope that these little people ain't assholes and are holding at the right.
Well, ooh, according to Bianca Belair, you know, that's nothing. That's just Tuesday.
Everybody ain't able. Because she really was like, well, yeah, I learned that on Thursday. But... and she said that shit like it's regular.
Right.
She was like, excuse me? His paper was like, I was on my 6th anniversary. Before I even hit the top rope. I'm lying. I'm exaggerating for effect. But point being,
gonna have to
Bianca
bring up
ain't normal.
Yeah, we have to bring up Xavier Woods later on in the show.
Well, we should bring up his Big E.
He's asking for the aunties.
Listen, I'm somebody's aunt. Don't play with me. Okay, anyway. Let me get rid of this thing. Okay, so there's the champions, Miz and Morrison. They arrive and praise their title defense and history as a successful tag team. They dare anyone to dispute this and put over their movies. Now, I don't know if that's the argument you should be making. Anyway, Triple H runs the camera and busts Cole's balls, as you do. Cole comments on the Gronkowski rumors, and Mojo Rawley joins us. Mojo is no longer stressed out and then enraged and whatever. Remember when he was like back in the little dark room?
Yeah, and he
was feeling
all
those feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ain't feeling those feelings no more. Now he's back being a dude bro football player, which it fits. Mojo says Gronk is on the way, and next week on SmackDown he will be here. He says he'll be here and they will be hyped. And
you know, he's back real, to hype?
Yeah, he was real hype. Real like seemed too much. Real like I bet you went on a bar crawl, even though we're not supposed to be at bars. anymore. Like, I know you did. I know you went on the St. Patrick's Day bar crawl because you're that kind of person. I'm willing to bet 25 cents on it. Anyway, so, as you know, it's still a recession about time. I'm spending no money on that shit. Anyway, match. Daniel Bryan versus Cesaro with Gulak, Sammy, and Nakamura ringside. Daniel Bryan won. Both men trade cradles and Bryan's wins. Post-match, they all get to brawling as Gulak gets sent to the steps until Bryan hits a dive and saves him. So now they're best friends.
Maybe. Respect. Respect. It's just like,
I'm sorry. You know I got a heel spirit. I can't take it. Next week, there's going to be a Goldberg-Reigns contract signing. Is there, though? Jeff Hardy debated King Corbin when Elias plays a song, allowing Jeff to hit the Twist of Fate and the Swanton finishes it. Wait. That sounds like Elias distracted him. Take a drink. That word wasn't in the review, but I can read between the lines. Triple H thanks us for watching and says they missed the fans tonight. They have performed their hearts out for us and remind us that they are then, now, and forever WWE. Sure. Oh, it's that man, John Cena. He's back. I guess. He gives a shout out to the fans at home. Cole asks him about his history with Bray Wyatt, and Cena says people have many times blamed him for their failures, and it's a long list of people with potential. He says he had potential. He lost a lot. He mentions Miz, Rock, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, and Taker, but he says he wasn't buried. Cena blamed himself and came back to the fight. Far too many around here get lazy and blame others, and he liked to give them an attitude adjustment. You know who John Cena is? John Cena is them bootstrap people.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly who he is, and that's like you sitting up here wearing your big ass denim jorts and your chain around your neck, but you're very much a Republican, sir, as evidenced by your haircut when you weren't here at the WWE. Like, you can't fool me. You don't fool me, sir. I see you. We see each other. Well, they say I can't see him. But yeah, anyway. Cena said, we see footage of The Fiend challenging Cena from a few weeks back. Cena says he believes in himself, but Fiend isn't the future. He says that Ciampa, Drew McIntyre, Riddle, and Ripley, they are the future. He wants to take The Fiend out. It won't steal the show, and he will end the most overhyped, overprivileged superstar in WWE history. Imagine you saying that about my quarter black icon. How dare you? No. Bray arrives and talks about how Cena has it all these days. Cena has him all wrong. He's not sick. Cena's sick. Cena can't say no. He doesn't care about the future. He only cares about John Cena and getting the spotlight. John Cena is an addict. 6 years ago, John took something from him, and he thought about it so much that the voices didn't stop. One day, he stopped fighting those voices, started listening, and they took him to a majestic funhouse. John Cena broke Bray Wyatt, but The Fiend put him back together, and at Mania, it'll be a slaughter, and John Cena don't even know it yet. I believe him. Probably I shouldn't, because I don't ever get what I want, but I like it.
Triple H was on commentary on this show. He mm-hmm. was good.
He's good at commentary.
Yeah, he was very good. This was just weird. It's just weird. It's just weird, 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 weird. Some people don't understand how to talk to the camera because they never had to. There's always been an audience there.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the interviews and stuff were weird. It was cool that they kind of had Michael Cole try to be like an interviewer in some of those promos so they at least could talk to him.
Yeah, and bounce back instead of trying to just like bounce to air. Right. That does take a specific skill.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So Bizarro World, SmackDown, and now we're about to move into Bizarro World, Monday Night Raw, as they did the same thing for Monday Night Raw.
Shit was garbage, too. I'm sorry.
We get highlights of AJ Styles' promo on The Undertaker. It wasn't as good as last week's parting promo, which was that same thing with a little bit of music behind it. Then Edge came out, and this was awesome.
Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that part. I was talking about everything else.
We see footage from his feud with Randy Orton. Edge says it's been a long time coming. 21 years ago they met. He knew that they would always be linked together. They are even linked by Mick Foley, pushing them to greatness, but Orton didn't take the same lessons from Foley as he did. Those lessons showed Edge how to come back, and while Orton is talented, he's had everything handed to him, while Edge worked for everything he's ever had. Orton was jealous and angry over Edge one-upping him at the Rumble. Orton can't do what he does. He's jealous, and 2 weeks ago, Beth was there to retire for him so he didn't have to do it again. But Orton couldn't allow her to finish, and after years of Edge stopping him from making poor decisions, Orton stopped him from making one, and he challenges Orton to a last man standing match at WrestleMania. Edge says he will write the story, and it won't be a tragedy, it will be a redemption tale, because Randy Orton won't get back up. This was good. This was awesome. This was an old school wrestling promo. This was something you would have saw in 1984 on Memphis TV, where it's like, hey, there's a you know, big match happening at such and such on Friday night, and one of the guys just sent in an interview, and then boom, they show the interview and he's standing in an empty arena in the ring or in front of the ring. And he's just cutting a promo about what he's going to do when he comes to town to beat up your local hero or your local bad guy. And, you know, gets everybody hyped up to come pay and see the match. So that's what Edge did here. It was awesome. Becky Lynch arrives in a big old semi-truck. And then they re-aired the Men's Royal Rumble. Commentary puts over Drew's win. Then they talk about WrestleMania taking place from the Performance Center. We then go back 2 weeks and get the footage of Drew wrecking Brock with the multiple claymores. Undertaker and AJ Styles, they have a contract signing. The Undertaker makes a speedy entrance and starts wrecking the table in the ring. No messing around. Post-break, they show footage of the Styles promo on the Undertaker again, setting up tonight's contract signing. AJ's music hits, but there's no AJ Styles. It hits again, and still no AJ. Styles and the Good Brothers are backstage and says people come through the PC and they want to be like the Undertaker. They, on the other hand, went right to the top. Undertaker keeps getting involved in a world he doesn't belong to and that no one wants him in. Still trying to be involved in a WrestleMania. AJ Styles runs down his wife, Michelle. He calls her Money McCool for being behind Undertaker, continually embarrassing himself. Style wants him to let it go, but he has no sympathy for the old guy who keeps getting involved in the OC's business. AJ says he stole victories from Styles, and at Mania, Taker can't run or hide. AJ will pay for his assisted living costs when he has him rest in peace. AJ signs the contract and then tells the Good Brothers to deliver the contract to Undertaker, but they refuse. They finally head to the ring and they have the contract. They try to leave it on the apron and they do so as the gong hits. The lights go out and when they come back on, Undertaker is behind them and he kicks their asses. AJ is pissed as his boys have their asses handed to him. Taker signs the contract, shoves it in Carl Anderson's mouth. And that was that. Undertaker had the American Badass look going on. He had like a, looked like a shower cap, but I guess it was supposed to be a do-rag. And like, no like vest or anything covering his chest or anything. So he was out there bare-chested, just walking around. Well, I would say walking, but more like limping around the ring, waiting for AJ Styles to come out there. It was weird. This whole show was weird. We get our first actual match on the show, like real live action match that took place about almost 2 hours into the show. Rey Mysterio defeated Andrade when he hit a 619 and the top rope splash to get the win. Then we get highlights of Shayna Baszler winning the Elimination Chamber for the right to face Becky Lynch at Mania. Becky comes out. Now, mind you, she like arrived at the end of the very first segment. This show is about to go off, and she finally comes out here to talk. Becky Lynch arrives and tells Shayna that she knows her existence as champion frustrates Shayna. Shayna has been taught that she could bully her way to the top, but she got to Raw and found the legend in Becky Lynch. If Lynch is champion, Shayna's life makes no sense. Lynch goes out and hunts her prey, and she's a whole different animal than Shayna is used to. Lynch saw her dominate at the Chamber, but at WrestleMania, she will prove Shayna's whole life is a lie. Shayna watches on from the back and is not happy.
Well, she should have came out and beat her ass then.
I don't know what they're doing with Shayna Baszler. It's not clicking.
She said some dumb shit on the interwebs talking about how she's the realest one and we just can't take it. And I was like, not with that red dot number 5 Gangrel situation, man. No. You don't get to claim authenticity. So sorry. Get it together.
We see footage of last week's interactions between Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. Then Charlie interviews Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens accepts Rollins' challenge from last week and asks for any time and any place. He wants to do it at WrestleMania in the Performance Center. There is no better place. Rollins has had the advantage, but when they face each other there, Owens will have the home field advantage. This is where Owens had the toughest times of his life, and that's where people like Seth Rollins didn't think that he would belong and where he would ever make it in WWE. But he will beat Rollins in the same building he earned his place in WWE in. And now, Steve Austin arrives for 316 Day. So, of course, he comes down, does his normal entrance, goes to all the corners, even though there's no fans there. He does his beer thing. He admits he got blowed up on his entrance. He says, from now on, 316, this is a national holiday. He says, if you're down with that, give me a hell yeah. So then they cut to Byron Saxton at the announce table, giving them a hell yeah. Austin whats him and says 316 Day is all about giving shit back to people with the middle finger. Byron holds up an 8 sign. Austin reads his cards upside down and Byron keeps rating him with his own cards. Austin talks about happy hour being 24 hours long on 316, having beer for your morning coffee, 4-letter words are always acceptable, and invites Byron to the ring for some beers. And then a stunner. Becky arrives with a cooler full of beer, steps on Byron, and toasts with Steve Austin, and then Byron eats another stunner. And that's how Monday Night Raw ended. Xavier Woods still has yet to be hit with the Stone Cold Stunner by Steve Austin. That's his, that's his one dream.
Is that his dream?
That's his one dream. Yeah, that's his, still, really? That's his dream. Yep. Yeah.
It's interesting, the things that you people want.
Oh, this was not good. The segment was terrible. The show was terrible.
I don't know who told them anybody wanted to see that damn Royal Rumble match. Like,
it was more out of like
all the shit that you could have reshown.
It led up to the story. It leads right into
I understand, but no. Like, make a sizzle reel of it. Cut it down. Make it interesting. But like,
they had to show 3 hours, but like, yeah, apparently they only had about 10 people.
Listen, there had to be a better way. I have a whole other TV brand of wrestling showing me that there was indeed a better way. So you can't tell me no story about how there wasn't no better way. You could have shown other matches. You could have shown all the little interim matches once you made the sizzle reel. Like, you could have done something. But that long-ass, bum-ass match that was only interesting after the low blow and the kick to Brock Lesnar's forehead. Like, I remember just how much I hated it.
Miss DeJanae is referring to the re-airing of the Royal Rumble from this year. Yeah, so they took up, so Edge cuts that promo, and then for the next hour 90. And a half.
Yes. Yes.
It is the Royal Rumble. So just some some creative programming by WWE. Whereas if you listen to the Dark Match over on patreon.com/CSPN Media, you'll listen to me and Miss Simi review AEW's presentation of Dynamite, which was completely different than anything that the WWE laid out there, strictly because they thought it would be a good idea to put maybe 15, 12 guys, wrestlers, as a crowd to give it some type of atmosphere. And it worked very well for, you know, for what it needed to be. Miss DeJanae, what do you want to sell them? You want to sell them hand sanitizer? You want to sell them toilet paper? What are we sending them to Amazon for this week?
Listen, ain't nothing on there for you. I'm so sorry. you can get a back order. Well, it might come next week. Listen, you got to make sure you get toilet paper. I'm actually running low. I'm going to need to go over to Amazon.com and or Doris's house and get me some nice toilet paper. You might want to have paper towels. You definitely want to have hand sanitizer. Never underestimate bleach. That's what I'm noticing a lot of people are missing out on. Like, yeah, hand sanitizer, cool. Or just bleach shit down. Yeah. Clean your walls. Clean everything.
I have that bleach spray that you get, the Lysol bleach spray. And yeah, mm-hmm. At least once a day, I just like spray that in my hand and wash my hands with it. Can't be messing around out here.
Listen, it's real out in these streets. Even before the Rona, the flu was going around bad. So just protect your neck. Get some bleach.
Amazon.com through CSPN.us. Get bulk amounts of bleach. Make that purchase so some of it can come back to the podcast here at CSPN.us. And we can keep the WWE Network and New Japan World Networks up and running so we can continue to bring you our commentary with color each and every week. So please support the podcast through CSPN.us and shopping through Amazon.com. NXT wasn't anything to go right home about. They spent about 45 minutes detailing the whole history of Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa from the Performance Center where they first got there, not really knowing each other, to you know, becoming fast friends, to Johnny wrestling being in the Cruiserweight Classic and Ciampa being wanting to get in it just so he could you know, wrestle Johnny Gargano. They had a match, it was a classic. And then it just goes on into their whole history, all the DIY stuff, the takeover matches, the ups, the downs, the wins, the losses. And, you know, just the whole thing that's leading up to where they got to last week with the big brawl in the Performance Center that ended up with the air raid crash off of the pedestal. So then they switched over to that. After they did that, they focused on Finn Balor. And Finn coming back to NXT, they showed him, you know, his trials and tribulations as being the first Universal Champion. Then, you know, him getting hurt, having to vacate the title. He talks about guys like Jinder Mahal, Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin had their best matches when they faced him. But then rather than him getting to shine, they all got pushed. He said that Brock made him realize what he had been missing, that feeling that he had against guys like Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens in NXT. Brock beat him but saved his life because he brought back his passion. Finn says he wanted to get back to simply wrestling. He was out to please himself again instead of the media and marketing. He starts to discuss Johnny Gargano. They show clips from their Portland match. Finn promises to get what he wants from facing Walter. Triple H then talks about NXT women's title being defended at WrestleMania. Then we get the Rhea Ripley video package where she talks about how when she started, she was scared compared to Charlotte and Lana and all the other blondes, and she changed her look and she's basically stood out from there. How everybody thought Toni Storm, yes, we did, was going to win the UK women's title, but she didn't. And then they show her, you know, her big run in November where she pinned Shayna Baszler, won War Games, and pinned Charlotte Flair as well. Then, you know, she's the next new thing in NXT. Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble. Rhea says she knew that she wanted to challenge her. Charlotte made the challenge, eventually accepted. They're going to meet at WrestleMania. Rhea says that Mania isn't in Charlotte's world of big stadiums and crowds, that no one wanted to see Charlotte versus Becky again. It'll be in Rhea's world, the Performance Center. She promises to walk out as champion after pinning Charlotte. And that was your show.
Have fun or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it. there's nothing to add for that. I mean, this was your week in wrestling, folks. It was three empty arena shows. Well, two empty arena shows from WWE. AEW did a show with just their wrestlers as the crowd, and we had NXT do 2 hours of recapping.
I mean, thank God for AEW, you know.
On Sunday, this Sunday, I think it's going to be at 7 o'clock. Let me check my calendar to double check it just to make sure I have the time correct. But yes, at 7 p.m. on Sunday, we're going to have a retrocast. We're going to watch WrestleMania 17 as a family. So please use the hashtag retrocast. And we'll, you know, watch some really good wrestling. The Rock versus Stone Cold from Houston. The second TLC match. So there's a lot of good things on this pay-per-view. So again, this Sunday, March the 22nd, 7 p.m. Use the hashtag RetroCast as we will be sharing our commentary with color on a WrestleMania 17. Update from New Japan. They've extended the moratorium on all events like another 10 days. So basically to the end of the month. So still nothing new to report from New Japan, unfortunately, as they deal with the coronavirus. And Ms. DeJournay, that's our show. So if you would like to add anything as far as commentary on anything wrestling related. Matt Hardy showed up in AEW.
The artist formerly known as Luke.
Yeah, Luke Harper also showed up in AEW. So they had been long speculated to be there. They both were there, maybe not in the roles that everybody thought they would be, but they're both there. So if you're fans of those two guys, that's something worth checking out. And other than that, Ms. DeJournay, if you want to give your shout-outs and thank yous, this will be our episode.
Yeah, shout-out to Jay, shout-out to Tati, shout-out to XJ Trilla, my connects. Because we're going to Korea eventually, just not right now. Shout-out to Sam, shout-out to Greg, shout-out to the baby, shout-out to everybody who's what are they calling it? Sheltering in place. Everybody who's quarantining social themselves. Social distancing
is what it's called.
Everybody who's social distancing themselves. Keep your 6 feet. You know, people dirty out here. Yes, yes. Yeah. But yeah, just shout out to everybody. Stay safe, stay clean. You know, protect your neck.
I'd like to give a shout out to the ladies of the Forever Young cast. We were able to record an episode last week. It's been out for a week, so if you haven't got a chance to check that out on the WrestleCast feed, please check that out, as they had a very comprehensive conversation about so many topics, wide ranging from AEW's women's division to the build to WrestleMania to the Monday Night Messiah. So the ladies, Jupiter Julep, Miss V, and Madame Lizette, they definitely let out a lot of frustrations and had a lot of good points as well. So please check that out over on the WrestleCast. Check out the Forever Young cast. Give a shout out to the Glow. Give a shout out to Sam. Give a shout out to Greg. Give a shout out to Miss Aditi Jonet. Give a shout out to the Chairman, Classic Materia. Give a shout out to everybody who shows up in the live tweets each and every week. Again, Retrocast this Sunday, WrestleMania 17. That should be a lot of fun. Got to do something to entertain ourselves since our wrestling isn't going to be what we normally view it as leading up to this. So I think WWE, Miz Jonet, might be like on some old recap stuff for the rest of the way. Which wouldn't be very interesting, but their production team will get a lot of work, and I'm pretty sure they're fired up about that. They get to make some cool videos happen. So
I think making cool videos out of old work is better than just replaying old work. So I hope that's the tack that they take.
Yes, yes.
If
yes.
They do anything at all.
Right, right. So for Miss Aditi Jonet, my SmackDown Managed Correspondent, I'm your host, Don DeLaurente. This has been episode 279 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
You are one of the best, maybe the best, to ever do this. I can't take that away from you. But you had all of this handed to you on a silver platter. When your dad brought you to that WWE live event, he handed you all of this, and it kills you and makes you so jealous that a guy like me had to work for everything and got it. I didn't have it handed to me. I was raised by a single parent who broke her back to make sure that my visions, that my dreams could come true. And they did. And it makes you jealous that at the Royal Rumble, I came back after 9 years and I threw you out. That's what this is really all about. This isn't love. You don't love me, Randy. You're jealous. You are jealous because you can't do what I do, and that tears you apart. I talked about all those years that I pulled you out of holes, that I stopped you from making horrible decision after horrible decision. Randy, man, you pulled me out of a hole. A hole that you dug for me. You pulled me away from making a horrible decision. So, Randy, it's pretty simple now, man. At WrestleMania, if you got the guts, and I am looking at you, Randy, I am looking at you right now, if you got the guts, it's Edge versus Orton. This is not a story that you dictate. This is not a story that you write. I write this story. And this story is not a tragedy, man. This is a redemptive story. And at WrestleMania, you won't stand back up.